All right, guys, normally I tell you where to turn. We're going to turn in a lot of different places today, so I'm not going to start off with telling you where to turn. We're going to look at a lot of different passages today because I want to talk about one final topic with regards to the issue of prayer. Now, remember, our overall series is experiencing the relationship. And when we talk about experiencing the relationship between you and the Lord, I want you to think in terms of a human relationship. When you have a human relationship, the basic component of any relationship is communication, where you are talking to the individual and you are listening. So over the last few weeks, we've been looking at various components about you talking with the Lord. In fact, I was going to go on this week and talk about listening now, but I even had it in my mind what I was going to do as a message, and I even prepared different things. I even had the title, and then like in one night, I felt like God was saying, no, you're not done yet with prayer. There's something else you've got to tell them about talking with me. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about one more thing, and I think when we talk about it, you're going to realize, yeah, it is an important thing. So let me introduce what we're going to talk about, okay? So first of all, I want you to notice we're going to talk about the problem we have. The problem we have with prayer, okay? Now, would everybody agree, we all know we need to pray, right? Okay? Is it easy? Prayer easy? People aren't sure, okay? Some are saying no. Okay, one of the things that makes it hard with prayer is if you don't think He's hearing you, right? If you don't think God hears your prayers because you're not seeing what happening? Answers, right? Yeah, so this is the first thing I want to point out to you. We get frustrated with the reality that your prayers are not answered. That's the most frustrating thing about prayer, right? I've been praying for years, and I have been. I've been praying for years for certain individuals to come to know Jesus. And here we are, sometimes in my case, decades later, and I haven't seen any change there at all. Like, Lord, don't you hear me? Or maybe you're praying about something short term and you really need Him to do work, but man, all you're getting is like ice, silence. That's where people say things, I just don't feel like my prayers, you ever heard this one? Get above the ceiling. Have you ever said that? I've said that. Now that's a wrong statement. What do you mean? Wrong statement because God is with you, so it's not like it's going across the ceiling. But there may be something else going on. The fact is, I think if we recognize the big frustration for a lot of us, the big reason why some people, I've even talked to people, like I tried that God thing, but He doesn't hear me. Meaning He didn't answer my prayers. And so the reality is, why is that happening? Why is that going on? And I think this is why we need to talk about it today. So here's the second thing. The quality of your relationship affects the Lord's response towards you. The quality of the relationship you have with Him affects His response towards you. Do you not understand that? So think about that for a moment. Think about it on a human level. If you have an intimate relationship with somebody, if that relationship is not on good ground, if that relationship is rocky, if that relationship is on shaky ground, and maybe even if that relationship has experienced pain because one person has hurt another, would the person who's been hurt do something for the other person willingly? No, not necessarily, right? If there's something happened to that relationship, the chances of there being an interaction where one responds in a way to the other we really shouldn't be expecting things there, right? We understand that on a human level. It's also true on a spiritual level with the Lord. In fact, again, let me go back. I've mentioned this will be the third week now I've mentioned this passage. James chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Listen to what he says, okay? So he's talking about the disposition of us compared to him. All right, so here's what he says. You desire and you do not have. So you murder. Okay, so you desire to get something, you don't get it, so you'll even result to murder. You'll do whatever it takes to get it. Okay, here's what he says. You covet and cannot obtain. Like you really want it, and you can't get it, is what he's saying here. You covet and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Here's what James says, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Folks, what we're going to talk about today is unanswered prayer and the biggest reason why God doesn't answer them. I'm going to talk about how you and I affect the relationship and therefore he doesn't hear us. Are you sure about that, George? Yeah, we're going to look at a lot of different things today. So we're going to look at the effect of sin, how sin affects us. We're going to talk about conditional promises. Because I've given you some promises as we've talked about prayer. Well, the interesting thing, if you go back and look at those verses, and we will today, we're going to see they're conditional. And then here's what I want you to notice. We're going to talk about what do we do. How do we get back on track? Okay? How do we get back on track in our prayer life? So let's talk about the effect of sin. Okay? The effect of sin. First of all, I want you to turn to Psalm 66. Turn to Psalms 66. Verse 18. Okay? Here's what I want you to see. God does not respond when there's unresolved issues of sin. Here's what Psalm 66 says. If I cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So listen. Here you are, you're begging God for something, but yet there's these unresolved sin issues in your life that you haven't dealt with. Now, the first person you're supposed to deal with when it comes to unresolved issues is who? The Lord, right? But if you're acting like nothing's going on and you're still doing your thing, you're still in your sin, you don't even think about it, but yet you're expecting God somehow to answer you. Psalm 66 is telling you, look, if you're regarding it, if you're like thinking on it, he's not going to hear you. So here you are. You're wondering why God's not blessing. You're wondering why God's not using you. You're wondering why God's not doing this. And you've been crying out to him, and you've been begging him, and you've been pleading with him, and you've been asking for this. And I'm telling you, instead of looking to him and saying, is there something wrong with him? Maybe you need to reverse it and look at yourself. And maybe you need to say, George, if I'm talking to myself, what is it that you're doing? What is it that you're doing that you know you shouldn't be doing? And what is it that you're doing that God's been telling you to stop? And you've just been ignoring him. In fact, you don't even think it's an issue. You don't even talk to him and ask for forgiveness about it. I'm telling you, you might be surprised as to why God's not answering. Because the issue isn't him. We're going to see some scriptures in a moment that tell you he wants to answer prayers. He wants to be there with you. He wants to use you. But maybe it's you. Let's go on. I'll explain it to you. Our sinful actions, here's one, our sinful actions towards each other affects our prayers. It's not just even the sins that I commit individually, it's the sins that I commit towards someone else. That affects my prayers. How do I know that, George? I've got a couple passages for you. They both deal with marriage. Why? Because that's the most intimate relationship for an individual, isn't it? Let's go to the first one. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Here he's given instructions to husbands. Okay? Verses 1 to 6, he was giving instructions to wives. Here's what he says to husbands. He says this, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Here it is. Listen to this. So that your prayers may not be hindered. Wow. So my interaction with the Lord isn't just affected by my sin. My interaction with the Lord is affected by how I'm treating my wife. Are you sure about that, George? Well, let's go over to the Old Testament. Go with me to Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Second chapter. Can't get any better than this passage. Listen to what he says here. Chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. And this is the second thing that you do. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping, and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he not? Okay, so listen to the complaint. So here people are going to the altar, they're going to the temple, they're making their sacrifices, and they want a response from the Lord, meaning they want the Lord to bless them. They're crying out for whatever. So that's why they came with their sacrifices, and they're weeping like, why aren't you listening to me, God? Listen to what the Lord says here. Because the Lord was a witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? A godly offspring. So guard yourselves in the Spirit, and let none of you be faithless to the path to the wife of your youth. Listen. If I'm struggling, and if I'm looking and I'm saying, Lord, why aren't you working in my life? Why aren't you doing something to show me that you're real? Why aren't you acting in this situation? You know, Lord, I've been talking to you about this for a long time. Why aren't you blessing? Why aren't you providing? Why aren't you doing this? Here's what you need to do. Number one, you got to look at yourself. What is it that I'm doing that I haven't gotten right with you about, Lord? And then number two, how's my relationships doing, Lord? How's my relationships with my wife, with my family, with my kids? How's my relationship with others? How's my relationship? Because I can't treat other people wrongly and expect the Lord to like, oh yeah, I'm going to bless you mightily. Didn't see that one. No, he knows. He knows. This is how sin affects our prayer life. This is how sin affects our relationship with Him. But the problem is, can I say this to you? We live in a world where we downplay our sin now. We live in a world where we excuse it away. It's a sickness, or it's this, or it's just my habit, or it's just the way he is. I remember years ago, I had a woman in my first church who had a gossiping problem. I mean, she was bad. And then I met her pastor from when she first got saved 50 years before. And he was an elderly gentleman. And I said, You know, I said, I have so-and-so in my church. And he said, oh, yeah, she was, I remember when she got saved back in the 40s. And yeah, and I said, you know, she really struggles. And he said, yeah, that's her personality. Really? Gossiping is a personality issue. My friends, gossiping is a sin. But this is the world we live in, where we just excuse it away. But we can't excuse things away because it affects our relationship with Him. Now, how do we know that? Well, when we have these promises from the Lord, we have to realize that they're conditional. What do you mean? So that's what we're going to talk about right now, conditional promises. So here it is. The Lord desires to bless those with whom He has a relationship with. How do you know that? I'm going to give you two passages. We looked at these two last week, okay? Here it is, Psalm 37, verse 4. Again, Psalm 37, my favorite psalm, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. See, there's the condition. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Oh, everybody claims that. He'll give me the desires of my heart. Yeah, but what's the first part? It's the condition. The condition is I delight myself in Him. And that's reflected in what? How I live my life. How I am with others. Here's the second verse. Again, we used this last week. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. God wants to bless us. He wants to answer us. And when I say bless you, I'm not talking about increasing your bank account. I'm not talking about giving you good health forever. I'm talking about something beyond that. He wants to interact in your life, and you know that He's real because He does answer you. And when He does, you're struck by that. But here's the condition. No good thing does He withhold from them who what? Walk uprightly. It's about how we live. It's about how we live our lives. So let's pause for a moment, okay? I want you to think about this for a moment. You know, I've been asking you over the last few weeks, do you want that relationship with the Lord? The God of the universe wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And the question has been for the last few weeks, do you want it? Do you want it? Well, then now the question is, how bad do you want it? What do you mean, how bad? How bad do you want it? Because if you really want it, you'll do what it takes to have it. Which might mean giving up something. Giving up what, George? Whatever that pet sin is in your life. Whatever that thing is that God's told you to stop doing. Might mean giving up your position with that person you're interacting with in a wrong way. And trusting Him instead of your right way to guide you in that interaction with that person. How bad do you want it? So then what do we do then to George to get back on track? Because I do want to see Him in my life. I do want to interact with Him. I do want to see Him answering prayers. I do want to see Him interacting with me in such a way that I'm blown away, God, You heard me, to the point where when He answers stuff that you were just thinking about, you didn't even formally ask Him. You were like, man, wouldn't this be great if this happened? And then God does it and you're like, holy cow, Lord, You know all my thoughts. If you're wanting that, then how do we get back there? Well, Well, that's where we go to Revelation chapter 2. So go to Revelation chapter 2. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Okay? Revelation chapter 2 is one of the first of the seven letters to the churches. These are letters from Jesus to the church at the time. And he's writing to the first church at Ephesus. And let me remind you about Ephesus. Ephesus at the time was a very prominent church in the area of Asia Minor. It was where Paul did lots of ministry. They used to see God do mighty things, demons being cast out, people taking their astrology stuff and going and getting it burned, and people just being healings and God doing mighty things and God's testimony, to the point where there was a riot because it was affecting the trade of the idol makers and so forth. And God was doing mighty things in this place when Paul was ministering there. And here they are 50 years later, 40 to 50 years later. And while they may still be doing the same things, they lost their relationship. They lost their love for Jesus. See, you can do the right stuff and not be right with Him. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can still do the right stuff and not be right with Him. So He tells them what they need to do to get back on track. It's in verse 5. It's up on the screen as well. Here's what He says. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. That's what I want to focus on. Remember, repent, and do. Three things. Remember, repent, and do. So here's how we get back on track. Okay? Here's how you and I get back on track. We're not seeing God's hand in our lives. We're not seeing Him working. Maybe I told you it could be one of two things. It could be the way you're treating other people. Number two, it could be you personally and some stuff that you're not willing to give up that God's speaking to you about. Here's what you and I need to do. Here's the first one, okay? Recognize your current condition and repent. Recognize it. Look at your current condition. If there's some sin you're holding on to, and He's been talking to you through His Word, He's been talking to you through others around you, He's been talking to you, and He's saying to you, stop, and you won't. That's what you need to do, right? Understand what's going on, and then the next thing is repent. Now, let me explain something to you about repentance. Because I hear repentance often explained away as simply just confess. No, he didn't use the word confess here. He used the word repent. Repentance is a change of mind. Do you understand? It is a decision to do something different. Yes, confession is a part of it. Confession is a recognition that I've done something wrong. Lord, forgive me. But it's now, Lord, help me to do the next thing. Help me to stop. Help me. Because the Lord is telling you to stop. You're hurting the relationship with Him. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting others around you. Stop. Repent. Turn from it. But then He says, go and do the first works. That's the second thing I want you to see here. Here's the second thing. Go back to the last thing He told you and do it. I hear people all the time, I just don't think I hear the Lord telling me and talking to me anymore. Listen to me. Maybe it's because He told you something the last time and you didn't do it. Maybe you can't do it now. But you can say, Lord, forgive me. I recognize. Will You speak to me again? The issue is obedience. Go and do the first works, what? That you did before, out of that relationship again, where it's like, okay, Lord, I'm here again. Please forgive me. I want to walk on with you. Now, what do you do? When he talks to you this time, you say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Because I almost guarantee if he speaks to you again, he's going to speak to you about what? The issues in your life that you're not dealing with. I'm just going to tell you that right now. He isn't just going to overlook it. Because he's not like an earthly parent, you know? Sometimes we overlook the things in our children's lives. God doesn't do that, because he's thinking about our perfection ultimately becoming like Jesus. So what do? Here it is. You remember and you say, okay, Lord, I've done wrong, and you repent, you turn from, you do something about it, and you what? You go and you do the first works. You do what he last told you to do. And if you can't anymore, you say, Lord, forgive me. Give me something else to do. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. When we begin to do that, then the promises that we saw in the Psalms, Psalm 34 and Psalm 84, we're going to see them fulfilled. What? Because when we begin to delight ourselves in the Lord, he will what? Give us the desires of our heart. No good thing does he withhold from them who what? Walk uprightly. That's not talking about a religious show. That's talking about people who are walking with him. And that's the final thing about prayer you and I need to understand. Your prayer life is connected to your relationship with him and with others. And if you're not seeing him answering prayer, then that's a sure sign that something's wrong. And you maybe need to start looking at why. Something for you and I to ponder. Let me pray for you and myself.